Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we are looking at the January 2013 Ensign Magazine, an article on page 4 titled The Voice of the Lord. It's an article that was given by Henry B. Eyring, who is a member of the First Presidency. And I guess, Eric, what this article tends to do, and it seems like this article and another article that we are going to cover also this week, tends to prove what I think many people think about the Mormon Church, and that is that it is actually an anti-intellectual church.
Mm.
In other words, it places a very, very strong emphasis on subjectivism, and whenever the facts are out there that might disturb a Latter-day Saint, rely on your testimony or rely on your feelings, that subjective aspect, in order to put your mind at ease. And this article and the other one that we're going to talk about later on tends to fall into that category. Would you agree?
Well, I would, and I would say that the Mormon gospel message centers around James chapter 1, verse 5, and Moroni 10, 4 and 5, which seems to be the two verses that will be used whenever you're talking to a Latter-day Saint. It comes down to the idea of praying about this book and this religion and seeing if it's true, and you'll get this feeling. And we've talked many times about Moroni 10, 4 and 5. That's a John 3:16 of Mormonism. And the problem with that is you can believe anything you want, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be true. And I think that's what we're going to talk about here with ideas of feelings.
You also mentioned James 1, 5, and we've said many times on this show and in our writings that Joseph Smith misuses James 1, 5. Mm-hmm. If any of you lack wisdom,
right,
and wisdom is the proper application of knowledge, but yet according to how Joseph Smith uses that verse, he uses it to go find knowledge. And that's not what James was saying. So they actually misuse James 1, 5. In this article by Henry B. Eyring, titled The Voice of the Lord, the opening salvo, the opening paragraph, I have problems with. What does it say in that first paragraph?
It says, the Doctrine and Covenants invites all people everywhere to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has some references here, such as D&C 1, 2, 4, 11, 34, and then section 25, 16. It is filled with his messages, warnings, and encouraging exhortations given by revelation to chosen prophets. In these revelations, we can see how God can answer our prayers of faith with messages of instruction, peace, and warning.
Now, it's not that what troubles me about this, it's not that I don't believe that God can answer our prayers. I'm not saying that. The problem I'm having with it is you have to already assume that the Doctrine and Covenants contains the voice of the Lord. That's the problem I'm having. The Doctrine and Covenants invites all people everywhere to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is filled with his messages, warnings, and encouraging exhortations given by revelation to chosen prophets. Do you already see you have to have all these presuppositions already in a row?
Yeah, it starts with chosen prophets and it moves from there. And if you don't hold that Joseph Smith and Thomas S. Monson are chosen prophets, then the whole thing would fall apart.
And that is the problem for those of us that are on the outside. You and I have studied Mormonism for most of our lives, and there's been a lot of things that we have read in their own sources that have caused us to conclude that there are major problems in Mormonism. There are major problems with Joseph Smith. There are major problems with the Book of Mormon. So when he says it is filled with his messages, and his is capitalized, meaning it's speaking of the Lord, Jesus, then we would say, wait a minute. No, we would disagree. But that's the presupposition you have to approach this article with in order for a lot of it to be making any sense to you. He goes on in the next paragraph to say that the Doctrine and Covenants is filled with answers to such questions asked by ordinary people and by prophets in humble prayer. It can be a precious guide to teach us how to receive answers to questions about our temporal well-being and eternal salvation. Well, it can be a precious guide. It can be. Now, he, of course, assumes that it is a precious guide and that it does contain God's truth. Mm-hmm. If, however, it doesn't contain God's truth, then the presuppositions that we have in approaching it are faulty. And where he's going to go in this article is basically going away from the way we would approach it, and that is examining what Joseph Smith said with what God has already revealed in the Bible. And again, a person can argue, but don't you have those same feelings towards the Bible? Yeah, there are a lot of things that we take by faith when it comes to the Bible, but there are a lot of things that can be actually verified in the Bible that gives it some kind of historical veracity, some kind of credence, sometimes, or it should say, truth claims that can be verified. When it comes to the things of Mormonism, we're left without those things. We can't do the same with the Book of Mormon, for instance.
Well, and in this book, The Doctrine and Covenants, it all comes down to Joseph Smith because the fourth standard work is the revelations of God being given specifically to this man named Joseph Smith. If Joseph Smith was not a true prophet, then anything that he says God told him is not going to be accurate because he's not getting direct revelation
from
God.
Or at least it's going to be suspect, that's for sure.
So you have to have not only the presupposition of the prophets from the first paragraph, but you have to the authenticity of Joseph Smith that he actually had communion with God.
He goes on to say, humility and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are key. Oliver Cowdery received an answer from the Lord regarding his desire to help in the translation of the Book of Mormon. And then it quotes D&C 8:10, "Remember that without faith you can do nothing. Therefore ask in faith, trifle not with these things, do not ask for that which you ought not." Now, see, I would take that last part, "do not ask for that which you ought not," and I would say that applies to the Book of Mormon. See, and when I look at the Book of Mormon, see, this I frustrated a lot of Mormon missionaries in my early years because they would say, why don't you just take Moroni 10:4, read the Book of Mormon, pray whether its message is true, and then you will receive a witness. And I used to frustrate them by saying, you know, I'll read the Book of Mormon. In fact, I have read the Book of Mormon. And when I examine what the book actually has to say and what history actually says about it, or what it says about history, I find there's a huge contradiction. So because of that, I will not pray about the Book of Mormon because prayer is not meant to contradict the facts. And facts is what I'm hoping to get to. I want to get to the truth. What is true? And if it's not, I want no part of it. And prayer will not change the facts. And I think that is lost on a lot of our LDS friends. They seem to think that that's not a problem.
Well, and that's going to frustrate a lot of missionaries today even because they're being told to get you to pray about this. And if you're not going to pray about it, they don't know where to go with that. And, you know, the Bible says in 1 John 4:1 that we're supposed to test the spirits to see if they are from God. That might be sounding contradictory for a Mormon missionary because, well, wait a minute, but if you just pray, but aren't you doing the same thing? You're testing by praying. And so the Bible is saying that we're supposed to test this out.
To examine it. And I'm not against using prayer for asking God to guide me in those things which are true. I'm just saying that I'm not going to go with a subjective feeling and I'm going to ignore those things that have been proven true. And when it comes to the Book of Mormon, I think it's been proven true that this is nothing more than a 19th century novel. That's the conclusion that I and thousands and thousands and thousands of other people, including many ex-Mormons, finally came to when they looked at the facts. That's what we're trying to get to.
And you don't pray about things like, should I commit adultery or should I steal a car? You don't pray about those things because the Bible's very clear on those
things. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible speaks on those issues. And that's why when it comes to the teachings of Joseph Smith and the things that conflict with what God has already revealed, I, as a Christian, have no choice but to reject what Joseph Smith has taught that conflict with what God has already revealed.
And that's key, what you're saying here. That's so key.
Again, this has got to be stressed with our Mormon friends. And when it comes to this article, The Voice of the Lord, the big question I ask is, well, is it the voice of the Lord?
Irene goes on, and I want you to comment on this because we were talking a little bit about this. Over and over in the Doctrine and Covenants, he writes, the Lord requires faith and humility before he gives his help.
Not always. We find Gideon, for instance, in the Old Testament, he didn't have a whole lot of faith.
No, he was.
He had to put out that fleece twice, before God moved in his heart. So that's not always the case. We look at how God moved in the case of Saul, who would later become Paul. There wasn't a lot of faith involved there. God had to shake him up.
How about Balaam? He needed a donkey to get him set up straight.
Absolutely true. And wasn't it C.S. Lewis who talked about how he came into Christianity kicking and screaming? And I've often said I can relate to that. That's kind of my story as well.
And then on page 5, he says what really caught my eye when I read this article, the Lord has taught us that answers can also come as feelings. Isn't that what Mormonism is all about?
It's all about feelings. And it's not that we're against feelings per se, and I think we always have to make this clarification. We're not against feelings per se. We are against feelings that conflict with what God has already revealed. That's where we would have to draw a line.
The old four spiritual laws talked about facts, faith, and feelings. Feelings are an important part, but it needs to be in the caboose. It does not need to be in the front engine.
And how many times when we talk to our Latter-day Saint friends, it's always the feelings that come first and foremost. They can't really prove historically, for instance, that there really was a first vision. The evidence goes against it. They can't really prove that Joseph Smith had plates made of actual gold. They can't prove this. They have to take it by faith. And though we're not against faith, but if it conflicts with facts as they really are, then we have to question that faith that we have.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.